Check. Am I on? Good? All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Today is a very long time coming. I think it was well over a year ago that Brad originally asked me if I wanted to, or had even interest in coming up here to preach. And at the time, I'd felt God's beginning to stir in me a desire to preach, and I felt like it was kind of the next step after home group leadership. But the idea of standing up here is quite terrifying for me. So I kind of used the excuse that I was too busy to just kind of put the commitment aside and ignore it. But I guess God had different plans because, well, I'm not working this summer, so I got lots of time. But as I stand here, I just want to thank Brad for just continuing to push this subject or this idea of preaching, because I can easily let things slide by, even if it is God calling me. And also you guys, Trinity Baptist, for allowing an environment where people can come up here and work in the gifts that God has given them, and they can grow and learn in them, and with grace to support them, to encourage them, and to help them if they fail. So thank you for that. In saying that, I do believe that God has given me a word today to preach, and I pray that the things that God has been teaching me, he has been speaking to me and he's speaking over my life these last few years, would flow through me in a way that you may be able to walk away with a new revelation of who he is, and what he is calling everyone here to with his help. So after I finally agreed to preach, I began kind of immediately praying about what God would want me to talk about, even before Brad gave the topic for the summer. And I got something almost immediately what to preach about, and it was really confirmed with the subject of just listening to what God is teaching us or wanting to talk to us about this summer. And it's been confirmed a number of different times throughout the summer. So I feel this is from God, and I hope that he speaks to you guys in the same way he's been speaking to me. It seems this summer that even though the topic is fairly wide open, just simply what is God wanting to tell us, God has been directing people in a very similar way, and today almost seems like a continuation of the last two Sundays with Brad and Kenny both speaking about the calls that God places over people's lives. And today I just want to focus on the importance of walking out this call in faith and obedience, even when the call appears to be impossible from a human perspective, and to avoid the temptation of filling in the blanks when God places a vision in our life or in our hearts, but we don't know the road that we're going to take or the direction that we're going to go to get there or what that kind of end picture is going to be. And so just to resist the temptation to fill God's ideas in, I guess. If everybody has their Bibles, can turn to Genesis 22. We're going to read verses 1 to 8. It'll be on the screen as well. It might be a little small. Sorry. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. So as we read the story, what do we see happening in this passage? Well, it says in verse 1, it kind of clearly indicates what's going to happen for the rest of the story here. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. So as the story is, it's a test of Abraham's faith. It's a test of the call that God has placed on him. And so, yeah, what is this test that God is asking Abraham to carry out? So first off, the test for Abraham was to take Isaac, his son, and go to a region and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on a mountain that God would show him as they get there. Now, in this day, the idea of sacrificing your son wasn't an unheard of idea, as some of the other religions of the day perform these types of sacrifices. But what makes this call and this test so daunting for Abraham is what Isaac represents to him. God clearly indicates the severity of the request as he says in verse 2. He says, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Isaac is the fulfillment of the promise that God had given to Abraham decades earlier when he told him to leave his family and move to a land that was not his own. And he promised him many times throughout the next number of years that he would have a son and a nation come from him that would bless the earth. And now God was calling Abraham to sacrifice him as a burnt offering. So as we move through the story, what do we see Abraham's response to the call that God gave him? And we see this in verse 3, where it says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. So Abraham didn't spend any time thinking about what God said, debating if he was going to listen. He had heard God's command correctly, and he was going to obey. Now, this would not have been an easy journey for him, I mean, besides the fact that he was called to sacrifice his son. But the journey from where he was staying at Beersheba to the place where he was going to make the sacrifice in Moriah was a 3-day journey. So it would have given Abraham a lot of time to think about the severity and perhaps the apparent foolishness from a human perspective of this request, again, because of what Isaac represented to Abraham. The second thing I want to point out from Abraham's response is that despite the call that Abraham had received to sacrifice his son, he didn't bring a backup plan just in case God changed his mind or if maybe he heard God incorrectly. It says in verses 7 to 8, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. So it is clear from this that Abraham trusted God and believed that despite what he was being asked to do, that God would still be faithful. And he would fulfill the promise that he had given to Abraham, even if it meant that God had to raise Isaac from the dead. So as we look at Abraham's response and the faith that he trusted in God to carry out this call and to fulfill this test that he was given, we have to ask her, what had happened in Abraham's life up until this point from such faith to step out in this call and trust that God would come through, or he would still fulfill his promise, even though Isaac was apparently the fulfillment of that promise. Well, we see back in Genesis 12 that where Abraham's journey begins, in verses 1 to 3, it says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So we see the initial call that Abraham received, and this is where his journey begins. But despite being 75 years old, Abraham follows the call and the promise that he will have a son and that his descendants will inherit a land that God will show him. Over the next number of years, we see Abraham following this call and trusting in God, but we also see Abraham has a number of missteps and instances where he's not fully trusting in God. He's not fully believing that God's going to fulfill his promise. And so he steps in a couple cases to try and fill it in his own wisdom and in his own way. And we see this in chapter 15, where Abraham is doubting the promise that God had given to him. And he starts to try and fulfill the promise in his own way. In chapter 15, verses 1 to 5, it says, "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward.' But Abram said, 'O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?' And Abram said, 'You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir.' He took him outside and said, 'Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" So we see, and then we see moving forward in chapter 16, that Abraham takes this promise that he received, that a son would come from his body, and he tries to, again, fulfill it in his own wisdom, as he has a child with the servant Hagar. You see this in Genesis 16, 1-4. "Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, 'The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her.' Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai took his wife took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived." And then as we skip down to verses 17 and 18, we see that this is where Abraham is pleading with God to use this son to fulfill the promise. "Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, 'Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, 'If only Ishmael might live under your blessing.'" So as the time from the initial call that Abraham received until God fulfills that call increases, Abraham has more and more doubts that God will fulfill, and he feels that he has to step in and help God out in some way. But God in his grace just continues to reassure Abraham that he is faithful by continually speaking his initial promise over Abraham's life. He speaks this over and over again. As we move forward to chapter 21, we finally see the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. In chapter 21, verses 1 to 7, it says, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, 'God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me.' And she added, 'Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age.'" So from this passage, we see that the way God fulfilled his promise was beyond any human wisdom, and it was through a supernatural work of God. Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 91, and she had previously been barren. This event would have been a clear witness to the power of God, not only to Abraham and his family, but also to his servants, and ultimately the nation that would result from Isaac being born as they passed the story down from generation to generation, as they told their children about God's faithfulness and what he had done for them. So as we can see from Abraham's journey, sometimes the calls that God puts over our lives come with a lot of uncertainty, and they may take a lot of years to fulfill. Abraham waited 25 years from the initial promise that he received to the time that it was fulfilled. In these places, it is often difficult to keep our mind from wondering how the journey will look, and we begin to fill in the empty space with our desires or our own ideas. Abraham constantly struggled with this, and as we see from the decision that he made to have a son with Hagar, our interfering with God's plans can often complicate matters as we try and accomplish things in our own strength. Also, as both Brad and Kenny talked about the last couple of weeks, and we can clearly see from Abraham's call and the journey he goes on, God places the calls that God places over people's lives and the visions he puts in people's hearts will more often than not be easy roads to walk. Sometimes the calls God places over people's lives will lead us to do things that seem entirely impossible to do from a human perspective. But throughout the journey, God will use these tests to stretch and to grow our faith. And as God continued to remind Abraham about the promise he had given him and to simply trust in him to fulfill it, he is going to ask us the same when he calls us to step out in faith. It is in this obedience that we will begin to produce fruit, and good fruit. As was evident with Abraham's life, when Abraham let God fulfill the promise he had made, it was only after this that Isaac was born, and the line to Jesus, the ultimate fulfillment of that promise that he had received, the blessing to all nations that Abraham had been promised, began. Now, I don't say these things, I'm not trying to say these things to make them sound easy or simple to do, as I'll be the first to admit that stepping out in faith can be one of the most frightening and the most humbling things that anyone could ever do, as God will often use these times to address places in our lives that need to change. There may be some things that we are holding on to that if we were to stop and think and then be honest with ourselves, there may be idols in our lives that we'd be afraid to lose if that is where the call led us. Or maybe we struggle with the doubt that God is able to do what he said he would do. Maybe some of the calls that we get may seem entirely impossible and that we doubt even God could accomplish what he asks us to do. Maybe you are in the place where you're willing to step out in faith with God, but you're doubting your abilities to hear God, and you're afraid that the things that you're feeling in your heart are your own ideas, or that if you were to step out in faith in these things, you'll just simply fall flat on your face. Maybe you are following a call, but the things that you're experiencing and the things that you're going through are just turning out differently than you imagined they would, and you're not sure that you heard the call correctly originally. These fears are normal, but as I said earlier, it is often during these times that God will address these doubts and fears in our lives, and he just asks that we walk in obedience. So as we see from Abraham's life, it was when he began to walk in obedience and he completely gave the call over to God that we see fruit begin to be produced from his life and his faith. So then as we walk in obedience to what God is calling us, what are some of the fruits that we can expect to see as a result of our obedience? First, our obedience will strengthen and it will deepen our faith and build the perseverance in our walk with God. We see this in James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because that you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." So this deepening of faith that we will experience will allow us to walk in greater trust as God continues to test us in order to continue to make us grow deep, more and more in faith. And it will allow us to walk into deeper and deeper things and step out in greater and greater faith as we do grow. Second, as we move into a place of total trust and dependence in God because our situation has come to the point where the only way we can succeed is if God intervenes, this will deepen our relationship with God. As Abraham followed God and obeyed his calling, it is clear from Abraham's story that he had a very close relationship with God. We see this later on in Abraham's life when he is pleading with God to spare Sodom and Gomorrah. And God is listening to his concerns, and he's going back and forth with him on this subject. We can also see this in our own human relationships. When we meet someone new, usually the relationship begins at a very shallow or very superficial level. But as we open up to each other and as the trust begins to grow between each other, we start to experience a deepening of our relationship. For those that are in house group, you can probably attest to this. As house groups have moved from a place of new growth to a place where they are now. When a house group is brand new, it often takes weeks. It can take months or even up to some years before the group can move to a place where they share deeper struggles and stories from their lives. And it's only when a foundation of trust is built that people can really move into deeper level and start being more vulnerable with each other. Third, as we walk in obedience to God, He will bless us. Now, I'm not simply talking about the kind of blessing that we often think about in our Western culture, namely health and wealth. The blessing can come in many different forms. If God is calling you to step out in financial dependence on Him, He will provide for you, but what you need to carry out these calls. But it may be if God is asking you to step out to witness to a non-believer in your life, maybe you'll begin to see fruit in this relationship and see this person opening up to what God is speaking to them. Ultimately, the blessing will match the calling that you receive. We see this evident in Abraham's life as we see Abraham's blessing initially was the child Isaac that was born to him, but ultimately it was that his life would forever be a witness to the work and power of God, because as we fast forward a couple thousand years, we see this the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who came directly from the Son which God promised Abraham and which ultimately fulfilled the promise that He would be a blessing to the entire world. Fourthly, as we walk in obedience to God, it will reveal our faith in God, the faith which brings us salvation. In James 2, verses 14 to 24, it says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.' You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is not justified by what he does and not by faith alone." This passage demonstrates that if we say we believe in God, when these tests present themselves, it is often how we respond to them that will demonstrate the faith that we profess with our mouths and what kind of faith that we are professing. And as we live out our faith in obedience to what God has called us, others are watching us. This doesn't just mean simply the people that are generally around us and run into us on a day-to-day basis. In Trinity, this doesn't mean the world around us or the general community. But this means those people who are close to us, our friends, our co-workers, our non-believing family members, and parents, this means our children. If we're going to say trust in God and have faith and complete dependence on Him, but we're not willing to walk that out, they will see that and they will link those two things together. For Isaac to experience his father carry out this level of faith in God must have had a profound impact on him, and something he would have never forgotten about for the rest of his life. If we choose to fully trust in God and we obey everything He calls us to, people will see a genuine faith. They will witness God's power and His faithfulness, and this will be a witness to them about who God is. Also, as they see God intervene for us and give us victory in areas that we couldn't possibly do on our own, it will be a witness to them about His power. This witness will ultimately bring glory to God. In Ephesians 3, verses 20 to 21, it says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As Christians, isn't bringing glory to God what our lives should be all about? So these things that I'm saying today that God has been sharing with me aren't simply things that I've simply read in the Bible or been taught by somebody standing up on a pulpit. But I believe that God placed this message in my heart today because these are the very things that he has been and is currently teaching me in my life. And today I feel God has called me to share my family's story and what we're going through currently. And as I was preparing this message, I really struggled with God leading me to share this story, because by publicly sharing it, what we are going through, it makes our situation a lot more real. And from a worldly perspective, God has called us to do something quite foolish. But I hope that through telling our journey, you, our church family, will be able to surround us with your prayers and support, and that God's name will be glorified more as you guys experience victory with us, as you walk beside us, as you see God's power at work in our situation, as you see God intervene on our behalf, you will be able to declare his greatness and his faithfulness as well. And I also hope that it can help you, encourage you in your walk in obedience to the call that God has placed over your lives. So there's two kind of general calls that we feel God has placed over our family's life. First is this idea that we've been given kind of a picture in the future of where things are going to be at or what they may look like. We don't quite know that end picture, and we also don't know the journey that we're going to get. And the other is that the way we live our lives will be a witness to the many non-believers in our lives, family and friends that we have. But the first call, the call to just step out in faith with what God and just simply allow him to lead us and direct us, it occurred sooner than I thought. And as I was preparing this message, I was looking back at some words that I had received back in 2007. I know for some people that doesn't seem too far ago. For me, I was still fairly young then. At that time, me and Karina felt we were being called to leave the church that I had grown up in. And we were kind of praying through this, and the words, and one morning I was woken up and I felt God asked me to read Abraham 12, or Genesis 12, where Abraham is called out initially. And the words that I got were that we were given confirmation that God was calling us out. The one line or the one word that I got that I wrote down that really stood out for me is that God will make it work. We didn't know what it was for or what the journey would look like, but we promised that God will make it work. And around this time, we'd received a number of different words and prophetic statements about some of the things that we'd be doing in the future, what our future, kind of, not what it would look like exactly, but general pictures of what it would look like. And also, I mean, we'd been dating for a few years, and from fairly early time, we kind of had the idea that we would get married eventually, me and Karina. And so we basically planned out what our life would look like. The job I would get, I would go to school, the job I would get, Karina would go to school, get a job. She'd quit working to have children, we'd move out to the country, build a nice house, and live happily ever after. But as we learned pretty quickly, the way that we planned it out, it was sort of in line with the pictures that God was giving us, but it wasn't what he was calling us to, and God really turned this upside down quite a bit. I didn't get into school like I had wanted to, or in the field that I wanted to. Karina was never able to find work in teaching. And through this time, I really struggled with my life not turning out. I went through periods of anger with God, feeling like he had let me down. I went through periods of depression in my life because my life wasn't turning out, while all the people around me, all the people that I went to school with, they were succeeding in what I had wanted to get into. I went through times of anxiety about, was I missing God's call in my life? Was I not using the gifts that he had given me properly? Was I wasting them? And I also went through periods of apathy of just, I didn't really care what God was going to do. I said, God has his plan. He's going to do it in his own way. So whatever. I don't really care. It's going to happen anyway. But through this time, God, looking back, it's obvious that God was really working on different areas in my life that needed to be changed and needed change in ideas and change in thinking. And during this time, we can see that God carried us through this time. He provided me with a job, kind of all of a sudden, in a field that I was interested in. He gave me success in this work. He gave me favor with bosses that no one else got along with. He gave us an opportunity to start a family. Probably if we had done the things that we had envisioned, we probably wouldn't be at the place in our lives with the family we have right now. And it was, again, during this time that he was really teaching me things and changing my ideas about who he was and about who he was as our God and as our Father. And as fast forward a few years, a couple years ago, my boss left for a different job, and it was around this time that I began having the feeling that the job that I had wasn't going to continue much further than the following spring when my contract was going to run out. And so me and Karina began praying about what our next step would be and what God was leading us into next. And as we both kind of prayed separately and we prayed together, when we came together, we both had gotten this, that I was to go back to school. The ironic thing about this is that I always said that I wouldn't or I couldn't go back to school because I had a house, I had a family, I had two children that I had to support. It just wouldn't be possible. And in saying this, we didn't know how it would work. We didn't know how things would work out financially. But we both felt the call, and so we started to figure out how we were going to make it happen. And as we stepped out in faith, we look back, we can see that God was blessing us in this and allowing doors to be opened with almost ease that we could just walk right through, and allowed us to walk out in this call. I had to, before I could apply to get into school, I had to complete some prerequisites. And at the same time, my job had been extended from April to October. And so I had to decide how I was going to do prerequisites during the day, but also have a job, if I had to quit the job or what was gonna that was going to look like. But it was this April, that April, a year ago, that Ezra, our second child, was born. This allowed me to take parental leave. So it allowed me to be paid while I was off work. And it allowed me to go back to a job after I finished the courses that I had to do. And then it was at this time that we felt God was reminding us about the calls that he had placed over us. And as we prayed for a middle name for Jordan, a name that had meaning, a name that kind of spoke over our family, we were given the name Jordan. And the picture that we got was it was the Israelites were crossing the Jordan River from a desert place into a place of God's calling, that God had promised to them. And it was at this time, and the picture is that at this time that the Israelites were crossing, the Jordan would have been overflowing, banks would have been flooding. It was a large nation, so I mean, there would have been sick, there would have been elderly, there would have been young. It just wouldn't have been a good time, humanly speaking, to cross the Jordan. But as we know, the story goes, God stopped the waters, they crossed over on dry land. And then when they got to the other side, as they set up a monument to remember. So as they got older and as new generations came, they could look back on this monument to remember what God had done for them. And so Jordan was to be a declaration of what was going to come in the future, what God was going to do in the future. And as we look back on the time that he was born, it was going to be a reminder to what God did in our lives at this time. And so as I finished my courses, God went back to work until October, and so but my actual schooling didn't start until January, and so I had to figure out what I was going to do from October to January. And come October, everyone in my work got laid off except for me. God allowed me to work till the end of the year, and then in December, as my job was running out, I was hired on as a casual because there was possibility of work coming up in the summer when I'd be off school. And so all these things were just falling into place for us. And obviously I'm not working this summer, so that didn't quite work out. But I believe that it was God in His grace that allowed these things to happen and allowed me to be hired on as a casual to give me peace about what was happening. As I probably would have been a lot more worried or a lot more anxious about what the future was going to hold if these things didn't happen. And as we went through school, we made it through with success. It was a hard 3 months as I had to figure out how to do school again, but with a family, with children, two young children that didn't understand. The dad had to study. Ezra just wasn't sleeping well for the first year of his life. So it was a real hard year for us, but God carried us through. And it brought us to the summer. Again, as school was ending, I was contacting my work, asking if they had work for me. They didn't. They told me to go see my old boss. He said I could, if I moved to Saskatoon, I could have a job the next day. But we just didn't feel like God was leading us into this. But in the moment, I wasn't too worried because Karina, in May, went for surgery on her ankle. So I figured we figured there'd be time for recovery. So we'd just take May as a time of rest. As we were both worn out after a year of school, and then Karina's surgery, the recovery didn't go as smooth as we had hoped. So we were just tired. And so as we moved into the summer, we just began God leading us to a time of rest this summer, a time to enjoy each other as a family, to deepen the relationship in our family, and to simply prepare our bodies and our minds for what's coming. This fall, as I go back to school to do another couple semesters, and simply just to trust Him with our finances. And God, again, God, there was no work, but I believe the surgery that Karina had and the recovery was just God's grace, and He knew that we were going to go through this time, and so no, I don't think work was available because He knew I would have jumped at the opportunity if it had presented itself, thinking that it was God providing it. Throughout the last number of years, as God has been leading us through our struggles, through our trials that we have gone through, God has been building our faith, where we are now able to step out and trust Him in this call. Even a couple years ago, I can honestly say I don't think I'd be at the place where I am today, where I could step out in my faith like we are this summer and just trusting Him to provide like He said He would. I'm not going to lie to you and say that it is super easy for me to do this or that I'm able to do this without any doubts and without any worries, because not working this summer, it goes against every natural instinct inside of me. And I very regularly go through periods where I ask myself, simply, how can this be? Or I hope nobody starts asking questions, because then I'll have to explain and I will probably look stupid because I got no answers. Or is this really what God is saying to us? Or I find myself I've started to try and guess how God is going to provide for us. But as I look back on how He's been watching over us these last few years, He gives me peace about the unknown that we are entering into. For instance, ever since we got married, our income as a family has slowly decreased because of just life circumstances. But despite this, the amount that we take in each year somehow increases to the point that despite the fact that I have only worked half the last 12 months, God has provided us our highest yearly income, which allowed us to save enough money to last this summer into the fall and into the winter. Even though we don't yet know where our finances are coming from moving forward, we are believing that God has called us to this, and He has assured us that He will provide what we need and that this is how we are going to move forward as He continues to prove Himself faithful time and time again. We also believe that this season in our life and this call that we are walking out into is going to be a witness to those people around us. As I said before, we have many non-believing family members, many non-believing friends in our lives. And we believe that this God working in our lives this summer and into the next few years will be a witness to God, to them about who God is and his power and his faithfulness. And this, again, was spoken over our family with our first son, Peyton. Again, we prayed for a middle name for him. And the name we got was James. And the way we got this was Karina had been listening to a sermon about James and was giving a context on James's life. And it was talking about his parents, Mary and Joseph, as James was the half-brother of Jesus. And it says, we don't know a lot about Joseph, and we know a little bit more about Mary, but we still don't know that much. But we can gain a lot of knowledge, and we can know a lot about who they were and how they raised their family by looking at their family. We see Jesus, I mean, the Christ, the Messiah. We see James, a brother. He was a writer of the book of the Bible. He was a pillar in the early church. We also see another brother, Jude, also a writer in the book of the Bible. And we just felt like God was saying over our lives that the way we carry out our lives, the way we raise our children, the decisions that we make and our decisions to just trust God completely will do more to witness to the people around us than anything we could ever say to them. In sharing my story, I just want to clearly say that this is not everyone's call, or not everyone's call is going to look the same as ours does. God has unique plans and calls for everyone, and we are all at different places when it comes to the areas that God needs to stretch us or where God needs to redirect us in our lives. He is going to use us in different ways, and he's going to test us. And the tests that we experience as we live out this call are all going to look differently. But what I want to ask you this morning is, how are you going to respond to that call that you get? Are you ready to live in complete dependence on God as he calls and directs you? Are you ready to perhaps look foolish by the world's standards because you are believing God to do something supernatural or beyond human wisdom in your life? Are you ready to walk in complete obedience to God, and are you okay with waiting on God to move while resisting the temptation to accomplish things on your own and with your own wisdom? So this summer, as we just sit in the posture of asking God what he wants to say to us, maybe you're still in the place that Brad talked about a couple weeks ago, where you're still waiting on God to provide that call or that place those desires in your heart, or maybe give you a picture of what the future might look like. But just continue this summer to wait on God, asking him to open your ears to receive the call, and then to prepare your heart so that when he does call, you are ready to respond when he moves. Maybe you are in a place where God has given you a vision, or he has called you to walk in obedience to something, but the task seems daunting or just seems impossible. What I want to challenge you is look at your past. Look at the ways that God has carried you in your past and the ways he's been faithful to you in your past. Meditate on the attributes of God, like Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. Meditate on his faithfulness, and so that your faith may be encouraged to step out, and you may be encouraged to step out in complete faith to his call. But finally, maybe you're in a place where you already are walking in God-ordained visions or God-ordained calls in your life, or maybe God has given you a picture of something in your future, or he's given you a call into something, and you are walking in that, but you don't know the exact journey you're going to take. Resist the temptation to accomplish things with your own abilities without hearing God's direction first. Spend time this summer just waiting on God and listening for that next step, because sometimes this is all he provides for us, as we probably would become overwhelmed if we saw the big picture of what he was going to do. And as you walk in obedience, take peace in the fact that it is God who is leading you, and it is God who is calling you into these things. Trinity, for us as a body, we've heard a number of different times that the focus is going to become more of a direct and practical expression of evangelism to the community around us. I want to remind you that it is God who draws this people to a saving knowledge of him. And he asks that we walk in obedience and dependence on him. And he will use these areas in our lives where we are walking in faith with him to draw people into himself. And I mean, we're already walking in a number of areas in faith. I mean, with our budget the last couple of years, it's been a faith budget. We're just trusting that God will make up where we may be behind. Also, in our home groups the last number of years, we've sometimes been short on leaders, but as we move forward and we feel God has called us into home group, we feel that God is going to raise up leaders and call up leaders to lead home groups. That I believe that as we Trinity, as we move into a deeper, deeper into this call and have more of an evangelism focus, God is going to continue to test us and to continue to deepen our faith and increase our dependence on him. This may seem like a vulnerable place to be, but know this, the community around us and those unbelievers that walk through our doors will see God at work as we walk in obedience, and they will experience his presence when we walk in obedience and dependence and we trust in his call. As I was preparing this message, the word that I got for Trinity was this: as God calls us to do things that are seemingly impossible, or when he gives us a vision that we don't have a clear picture for about how he will accomplish something, God says, "I am the God who called the Israelites out of Egypt. I opened the Red Sea and the Jordan so they could walk across. I rained manna down from heaven to feed them. I helped them defeat giants so they could take the land I promised to them. I am the God who called Gideon to fight the Midianite army with 300 men and gave them victory over thousands. I am the God who called David, a mere shepherd boy, to be king of Israel and made him the greatest king to rule that nation. I am the God who called Esther to speak out and save the Israelites from total destruction. I am the God who called 12 ordinary people and used them to spread the news of salvation to the entire world. I am the God who called Jesus to suffer and die on a cross, but I conquered death through his sacrifice. When I call, if you walk in obedience, I will sustain. I will not let you fall. I will provide so that you may accomplish that which I've called you to." So as I close today, I want to encourage you with the words that God spoke to Abraham and Sarah when they were doubting the promise that God had given them. And the words that Abraham spoke as he walked in obedience to the mountains to sacrifice Isaac. In Genesis 18:14, it says, God says to Abraham and Sarah, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And then in Genesis 22:8, as Abraham's going up the mountain, he says, "God himself will provide." Just meditate on these truths this summer as you continue to listen for God's direction, and then as you step out in faith and following him.
Thanks, Jared. Let's stand together. That was a good message, Jared. Interesting. This morning, I checked my Facebook because we're planning a beach day this afternoon. So there is a church beach day if you want to join. But my feed popped up, and if you're a Facebook person, you get a feed, and it reminds you of things. And it popped up a picture of Paula and I jumping off a cliff. And that was 4 years ago when the Lord told us to jump out of something that was our stability. Everything was stable in that place, and the Lord said, jump into the unknown. And we had no idea what the Lord was calling us into. We had no plan. He said, don't even look for a plan, but I'm going to provide. And he did in amazing ways. And so this is good reminders, Jared, for all of us to listen and trust the Lord in the hard places. And sometimes it's going to be hard, and sometimes it's going to be easy, but the Lord is always faithful, always faithful. And his plans are always good. The other thing that came to mind was that we can plan our course, but the Lord directs our steps in all things. And sometimes our plan looks like this way, but he will direct our steps over here to a totally different place. And so as we go this morning, I want to leave you with Ephesians 3. Because I think the word that Jared spoke is something that we take with the Lord. It's not a quick ministry thing, but it's something that we need to brood over with the Lord and ask the Lord to come, to give us a deeper revelation of his faithfulness to us, because God is able. He is able. Yeah. All right, so I leave you with this. And may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, God's people, the width and length and height and depth of his love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love, and that you may come to know practically and through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go with peace.